Right now, it is time to bring in Big Jim Lynch. It is time for Cover Your Assets with Jim. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and other subjects, and he brings many years of experience to those topics and more. Good morning there, Mr. Lynch.
And good morning to you, sir, and to everybody in the audience. Hope you're well, happy, and safe.
Now, before we get into the serious stuff, I want to know if you saw the video of Tom Brady throwing the Super Bowl trophy about 10 yards during a boat parade in Tampa Bay to a boat behind him. And not only did he throw it perfectly, and that's a heavy trophy, but the person caught it without any without blinking an eye. Did you see that video?
I did not see it. I saw the report of it. And I don't know why he has to continually demonstrate that he's got such a great arm.
Google the video, because in the background you can hear his daughter saying, "No, Daddy, no, no, Daddy, no."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I will have to catch that.
So he apologized after the whole thing was over. He said he had, I think, like one too many margaritas before the parade.
Right, that part I saw. And he really has been acting a little bit like, you know, a very young guy who won a big trophy, and that's wonderful.
That's the great thing about sports.
A little obstreperous, but yeah. Wonderful to see some joy. And you know, I always thought of Tom as a pretty, I don't know, introverted, not very happy guy, and so it's good. It's good. You know, I know the Lombardi Trophy is very safe, sacred to a lot of people. But, you know, we have a lot of sacred cows, and I think we've got to get over ourselves.
Yeah, look at one of the most sacred trophies of all time, the Stanley Cup. Look what hockey players do with it, because each player gets to hold on to it for one day during the year. That trophy has done some amazing things.
If we could have all those fingerprints, can you imagine what we could do?
Well, that's the whole thing. You know, it's men acting like boys, but you know what? They get paid big money. But you know what? They're in it to win it. And when they win it, they celebrate just like your son or daughter would celebrate winning a title. That joy never goes away.
Right.
And it should.
You're absolutely right.
And it shouldn't. All right. So on from that. Let us move on here and talk about more events of the world and our country. Joe Biden has been president now for almost a month, and he hasn't gone golfing once. Saved us probably $600,000 already.
Well,
that's a joke, folks. That's a joke. He hasn't saved us $600,000, probably more like $100,000. But anyways.
Well, we must laugh, President cry.
That's right.
So you get up in the morning, and the world is reflected very much by our current weather dilemma. But, you know, we'll get beyond it. The sun will come out again. I told both of my dogs that yesterday, and that the sun will come out again. We have had quite a run here. I know myself, very, very tiring, demonstrating that I really do want to know what the heck is going on with my country. I was persistent in following things as they went by and delighted they're over. And I wish I could say, well, we're on our way. And we are on our way, but we're not on our way in a full throttle. A lot of things that have truly come forward. They've been evolving in the last 4 years, maybe 10 years. A lot of challenges have evolved that we really now must deal with if we're going to get ourselves back on track. And the key ingredient is we just need to get back together as people. And I won't try and describe what that should be. I'll just use that simple expression. But I will say this, back to Mr. Joseph R. Biden, he has got the opportunity to lead us back frankly, by doing what he's been doing, actually, the last 90 days, whatever it's been, namely doing things that are in the best interests of people, all the people. And some of the work he's already done, for instance, in getting us back internationally so that we can work with others on what is such a major challenge, the climate change. And the climate doesn't know who you are or where you are. It's there. And right now, because of what has happened, too many emissions of pollutants and so forth, we're in another crisis right now, in my opinion, or the beginning of it, or the continuation of it, in terms of the climate. The folks in Texas, where there's a lot of oil being developed and processed and so forth, they've always been anti-climate change. I just hope this thing, sincerely, I hope this thing that has occurred in their state wakes them up to the fact times are different. We must deal differently. You know, before the light bulb was invented, we had candles, and then we got the light bulb, and then we got the auto, and then we got a lot of other things. Well, it's time for that kind of change.
Yep.
In terms of dealing with our environment, dealing with our climate.
I'm glad because
if we don't, it'll be just another pandemic, and that'll be all she wrote. We just won't be around anymore eventually.
But you know, I
look at the weather we've seen, and we've all seen it. And because many of us are stuck in front of televisions, we know the tremendous assault on the country weather-wise, and. I guess 2-3 days ago I was reading white sharks, for instance, are coming back in certain areas of California where they hadn't been because the water is becoming more temperate for them, and it enables them to swarm and to have their babies. I mean, Mother Nature is telling us something. And, you know, if we don't wake up... So... Biden is on that trail, and I think he's going to continue on that trail, getting his back first internationally to work cooperatively with other nations and incorporating all of our strengths, the corporations and everybody else coming together. Yep. We're seeing it already on a material basis with the electric car, which by 2025 will probably be, well, maybe a little later, will be probably prevalent in terms of our getting around town, so to speak.
You know, what's,
but the work has got to be much more. I mean, coal emissions, we got to bring them to zero. We have all of hydrogen now is being developed as one, a powering source. We've got natural gas. We've got electricity. So we have, unlike the pandemic, we have a lot of solutions for climate change, but it will take a very, very total effort on the part of the populace, corporate and individual, to get to it. So,
But you know, Jim, I'm glad you brought.
I wish words would take care of the problem, but they don't. So,
yeah, but you brought up some good.
Back to the coach.
You brought up some good things about climate change, and here's what always amazed me with the development of green energy. The development of green energy does not mean that we can't and won't use oil. It does not mean the death of oil. Now, coal is another matter. Coal is going to be going down in usage in amazing amounts. But if we're going to ever get energy, total energy independence, it's going to be a combination of some things that some people don't like, but they're going to have to be combined. That is nuclear energy, that is wind and air, that is the sun, solar, that is natural gas, that is oil. it's going to take all that. Even the guy that owns Tesla, Elon Musk, said that right now, if America were to go to all electric cars, there's not enough energy in this country to power all those electric cars. So we have to, and it, I like what you're saying, we have to acknowledge the difference in the extremes in the climate, and we also have to build a broader platform. Like I said, instead of being, let's say it's 35% solar, let's say it's 30% wind, let's say it's 20% natural gas and another 10 or 15% of oil. We need to do it consistently, and if we do that, we will turn around the effects of what we're doing in the atmosphere. We'll be able to go in towards the future and give a better future. You know, the thing that always amazed me, Jim, is when you talk about being green, no one ever said that being green, except coal's a different matter. It's a totally different matter. But no one ever said we're going to eliminate everything else. I mean, when we went from radios to televisions to now satellite TV, guess what? Radio's still around. Television's still around. Satellite TV is here. When we went from light bulbs to where they are now to where we're to LEDs, light bulbs, you know, I never understood the people that say it's got to be one way or the other, because it can't be. We have to develop, as we develop as a country and as we develop industries, we're going to have to find ways where everybody understands where there's going to be a mix of oil, natural gas, solar, and wind power, and even the real one, water power. They're finding out what they can do with oceans by putting things in the ocean themselves without harming the environment. So it's going to be a broad-based look at this. You know, I hate it when environmentalists are painted as being they want to get rid of oil. They don't. They want to expand the use of other forms of energy to lessen the reliance on oil and natural gas, not get rid of it. And we seem to overlook that in this country in the debate between natural energy and what we have now and green energy. It doesn't have to be one thing or the other, Jim.
Well, this plays into a theme that I began with, namely, as a country coming back together, we need to decide that what is for the common good of the country, and we need to go with that. Also, in the process, if we could get rid of political contributions, which creates a lot of fractions, that would be a long way to help us dealing with this environmental problem. There are too many people getting paid too much money in the Congress and the Senate who lobby slimy things that their constituency, whatever portion it is, oil or whatever, from getting things done. And in my opinion now, more and more I'm realizing just how the threat has come true that we talked about on this show with the Citizens United, the ability of people with millions of dollars to sway Congress and so forth, because those millions are really driving a lot of the problems we've had in many, many areas, and we've just got to take care of it.
You know, I'm gonna get off the beaten track here a little bit, and that is, I don't know about you, but what the main thing Joe Biden has done as he's been since president has brought back a different sense of calmness. When there's press briefings, we don't have the president; we have actual daily press briefings by the press secretary. When the COVID task force meets and talks to the public, we don't see the president. We see the COVID task force talking about what's going on. And even something as simple and this was continued under the Bush administration, the Obama administration, the Clinton administration before it, and the other Bush. For Valentine's Day, how nice was it to see that the First Lady organized putting up of signs of joy and love on the White House front lawn? And how nice was it just to see the first couple, without taking court, just strolling around the greens of the White House with their dogs? It's just a total reset in what was a very high energy presidency with the Trump administration, where it was Trump all the time. Now Joe Biden is doing what a true president does, whether we like it or not. I'm a progressive, and I wanted to see some shakeup. But you know what? It's kind of nice to see the stability return to the White House and to the country on a day-to-day basis when it comes to our national government.
Well, I would say it's wonderful. And it was kind of thrilling to see those signs and Jill Biden. And it's just wonderful. It's you can really never go back in time, because individuals are different and circumstances are different. But believe it or not, I think of the Obamas as in a reminiscent way. I mean, it's not that long ago. But to have life, to have a woman planting a garden and children, and you know, just, I don't know, decency, humanity, in the house that houses the folks that make the big decisions. It's extremely refreshing, and Biden's handling of lots of different things that are disturbing us all in a calm way, but in a very solid way. It's very, very reassuring. And these numbers we get from the pandemic are frightening, but Biden brings a certain sense of calm, but he also a certain sense of he's doing something. If you look at all of the people he's put in, class, quality people, if you look at the managers of the trial, the Democrats, classy, smart, articulate people, it's very refreshing, and I think we all should just try and embrace the images, not politically, but the people, the brains, the people who have... they're devoting themselves to public service. They're all very smart and articulate. They can do whatever the hell they want to make a living or to create or whatever. But they're serving us. They are serving us. I think a special shout out to Jan, you know, the new person. She's not new anymore, who does the daily briefing. Sharp, solid, a gentle person, a gentle woman who deals with those people who come to get the news in a very respectful way. Hopefully all of these people, in their own way, in their own situations where they're helping run the government, will bring back some of that respect to the general populace. I think one thing in being fair to the citizens of this country, some of the disruptions that they've allowed to happen in their lives and the divisions is because every time in the last 4 years they turn on the television, they'd have, and I'm not talking Trump right now, I'm talking his enablers, just castigating, yelling, screaming, lying. Well, most, if not all of that, is going to be gone from what comes out of the White House. And, thanks be to God that does happen.
You know, let's go back and look at the presidency over the years. And Lyndon Johnson, whether you liked him or not, and he had some incredible achievements as president. His family, The dog, very, very, very involved in White House activities. John F. Kennedy before that, of course, his family always seen around the White House. And Richard Nixon, not so much so, but his daughter got married at the White House. But then you go from there, and you go and you look at Jimmy Carter, once again, a very relaxed White House. You look at both Bushes. Families are very, very prevalent at the White House. You look at the Obamas, the same thing. You look now with Biden. And yes, Richard Nixon was kind of a loner, and Donald Trump is kind of a loner. But you look back at the history of the presidency, and it's so nice to see the White House feel like the people's house again. You know, yes, it's the seat of power from one of the most powerful persons in the world. But it's also the people's house, and it's nice to see it represented once again in a family way, and that's all I can say. There's a whole different feeling now. If you're going to criticize Joe Biden for his policy because you don't like policy, it's fine, but the rest of it just seems we're going in the right direction when it comes to what has to happen with us and the rest of the world. Now we just have to get the Congress and the Senate to come around. We only have about a minute left, Jim, so I'll let you wrap up the big shoe for today.
Well, I find myself somewhat calm as I've done this radio today, and I'm delighted that I'm coming back to stability after what I've been through and what I've been through and we've all been through, and I wish all of us maybe a little bit more Joe Biden and a lot less of allowing ourselves to be pulled back and forth and so forth. So God bless you all in this storm and the next storm. And, you know, we're Americans and we are the best if we want to be the best. God love you. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
All right, Jim, speak to you next week. And Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.